Well, this morning we begin a new series that we are calling Summer of Stories. It's a study of the parables of Jesus. What is a parable? Well, the straightforward definition is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. A gentleman by the name of Dr. Herbert Lockyer, in his book, All the Parables of the Bible, says that parables display a preordained harmony between things spiritual and things material. Material objects are used to express spiritual truths and reveal that nature is more than it seems. So who do you think is the best at using parables? Good job. You know, that's the answer to 90% of the questions right there. Jesus! He is truly the unrivaled teller of stories. He's the master of parables. And after all, he's the master of everything, of all creation. And so this morning we dive into a summer of stories. We're going to study the deep insight and truth that Jesus has for us in his parables. Our primary passage of scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 41 through 43. But before we dive right into the scripture, I want to give a little context, a little backstory to make sure that we're approaching this with all understanding. There was this Pharisee named Simon, and he asked Jesus over for dinner one night. That was a nice thing to do. And so as they were sitting around the dinner table, I'm sure enjoying some pretty good food, the Pharisee Simon, I imagine, I'm reading into it a little bit, but I'm imagining was pontificating a little bit about doctrine and about all he knew about truth and how religious and devoted of a man of God that he was. It was during that time at dinner when a woman walked into the room. This was a woman who was known in the community to be a pretty sketchy person, a sinner. She stopped by to see Jesus. She fell at his feet. She began weeping, tears flowing out of her eyes, and she began to wash the feet of Jesus with her tears and dry his feet with her hair. She then proceeded to kiss his feet and anointed them with a very expensive ointment. Jesus saw an opportunity. The master storyteller decided to tell the Pharisee Simon a parable. And so let's pick it up in Luke 7, beginning in verse 41. This is what Jesus has to say. He said, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other only 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. He forgave the debt of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Jesus asked. Well, Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus said to him, ding, 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 you have judged rightly. The title of today's sermon is The Blessing of Forgiveness. How many of you want the blessing of forgiveness? Come on, hands up high. The blessing of forgiveness. Well then, there's some things that we've got to understand regarding forgiveness. First thing I want to look at is, I want to make sure that we understand that there are a couple things, two things that we're going to look at this morning that can prevent us from experiencing the blessing of forgiveness. The first one is this, is not recognizing our complete need for forgiveness. We can miss out on the blessing if we don't understand first that we have a need for it. The second reason that we can miss out on the blessing, the second thing that prevents us from experiencing that blessing of forgiveness, is not understanding that we have truly been forgiven. Let's look at those two things. If we're going to experience this blessing of forgiveness, and if we're going to, like this woman, be forgiven more, we need to, number one, recognize our need for forgiveness. So let's look at that. Recognize our need for forgiveness. I want to look at Romans 3, verses 23 through 24. Romans 3, 23 and 24. The Apostle Paul wrote this passage of Scripture and gives us his truth. And he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." How many people have fallen short? All. Are we members of that? Yeah, we're one of the all, right? "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." I never like ending that just with verse 23. I always like going on. Yeah, we've all sinned, but man, we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ and His grace. First thing we've got to do if we're going to walk in the blessing of forgiveness is we must acknowledge our need for forgiveness. H.A. Ironsides, he's an old school preacher from back in the early 1900s. He says, "As long as people try to justify themselves, God cannot help them. But when they recognize their need and their own guilt, He can save them. God delights to emphasize His grace to sinners." And then Ironsides recalls hearing an evangelist say, "Oh, how hard it is to find sinners. I would be willing to go any distance to find a sinner who recognizes his need of a Savior." Oh, we know that there are sinners all around. He's talking about those who know that they're a sinner. You know, it doesn't matter how good we think we are. It doesn't matter our past, the family that we grew up with. It doesn't matter what church we go to and how often we attend and whether we serve in the church or not. Well, at some point it does. But for salvation, it just doesn't matter. None of us are good enough. None of us can do it in our own strength, in our own righteousness. It just doesn't happen. Without Christ, we will remain in our sin and we will miss forgiveness and its eternal blessing. Period. A pastor once said, "Getting to know Christ is like traveling to the sun. The closer we get, the more we recognize our innate sinfulness." What he's saying is that the closer we get to Jesus, the more we know Jesus, the more that we recognize our need for Him. Simon the Pharisee, you see, he didn't get it. He didn't get it. He approached Jesus with self-righteousness. "Come on over, I want to talk to you, man of God, and let you know what a man of God I am." He approached Jesus with self-righteousness, and so he missed out on being covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He missed out on the blessing of forgiveness. And unfortunately, there are many Simons that are sitting in churches this morning. People who call themselves Christians, however, they continue to approach Jesus with self-righteousness, holding on to self-confidence, to self-sufficiency. "I'm going to take care of myself. I can take care of myself. I can make it happen. I can get myself out of this problem. I can fix my circumstances. I'm smart enough. I'm strong enough. And after all, people like me." Sorry, I had to go there. I looked over at Jeremy and I had to go there. Sorry, Jeremy. Even as I was putting this together, you get your self-righteousness, your self-confidence and self-sufficiency. But I even believe that self-consciousness falls into this category. It's the self thing. It's thinking of ourselves. It's worrying about ourselves. It's being into ourselves and what people think about us and do I have it all together. It's something that's going to, all of these things pull us away from dependency on Jesus. And when that happens, we miss Him. And we miss out on everything that He has for us. So number one, if we're going to walk in the blessing of forgiveness, we first need to recognize our need for forgiveness. We're all sinners and we need a Savior. We need to be forgiven. The second thing is we need to receive forgiveness. If we want to walk in the blessing of forgiveness, we need to receive it. Everyone must turn to the only one who can forgive them, Jesus Christ. And upon receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and receiving forgiveness, and having His amazing grace pour over us, and renew us, and transform us, when that happens, when that amazing exchange and rebirth happens in our life, we need to embrace it and embrace forgiveness. If you've truly recognized your need for forgiveness, your depravity, and that you have a debt that you cannot pay, and if you've humbly asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you've repented, if you think His way now, if you've asked Him for forgiveness, and you've fallen at His feet like this woman did, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. It says again in verse 42 of our scripture this morning from Luke 7, it says that He canceled the debt of both. He canceled the debt. 50, 500, it didn't matter. He canceled the debt of both. A debt's a debt. Whether your sin was lying or gossip or murder or adultery, whatever your sin might be, whatever level that we put each one of those sins on, it just doesn't matter. Sin is sin. We all need forgiveness, and the Lord is able to cancel it all. And if you are in Christ Jesus, if you have asked for that forgiveness, if you've given Him your life, if He is now your Lord and Savior, you're forgiven. Whether it's 50, whether it's 500. Whatever it is, whatever it was, you're forgiven. But sadly, there are those who miss out on the blessing of walking and living in this forgiveness because they can't really believe that they are truly forgiven. John 8:36. If that's you, by the way, if you are questioning whether or not God has really forgiven you, John 8:36. Memorize it this morning. This is truth. The Lord wants you to know this right now, that if the Son has set you free, and if you're in Christ Jesus, He has, that you are free indeed. Period. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. That means you're really free. There's no question. Forgiven, question mark? No. Forgiven, exclamation point, is what your life looks like now. The question mark has been erased if you're in Christ Jesus. The exclamation point has been applied. Forgiven! Forgiven indeed! That's the truth of who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, as I think about this, I'm going to go someplace that might ruffle a few feathers, but hang with me here. I believe that if we question our forgiveness, if we're people who walk around questioning, has God really forgiven me of that horrible stuff I did when I was in my early 20s? I mean, it was just so wrong. I think He has. I don't know. I believe that if we question forgiveness, ongoing questioning of forgiveness, that we begin to walk into dangerous waters. I believe we begin to walk into waters that are actually dishonoring the blood of Jesus Christ. when we continue to question His forgiveness. I believe we begin to cheapen and weaken the authority that He has to thoroughly forgive us. How many times was Jesus ministering and He would tell somebody that their sins are forgiven? But to show you that I have the power and the authority to forgive sins, I'm going to do something just crazy and extravagant. I'm going to heal somebody. I'm going to raise somebody from the dead. I'm going to make the lame walk. I'm going to have the blind see. Because I want you to really know that I have the authority to forgive your sins. And so if we are in Christ Jesus, if we are those who say, yes, I'm a child of God and I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, then we must be people who understand that He then has the authority to forgive our sins. And the Word of God says that He has forgiven our sins. And we must walk in that truth. If we believe He is who He says He is, and He is, then we must walk in that blessing of forgiveness and in that truth. And to question it is to dishonor the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know none of us want to do that. So embrace it. You're forgiven. Don't question it any longer. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Enjoy walking in that freedom. Enjoy His grace. Don't allow the devil to rob you any longer of this blessing of forgiveness. Another thing that relates to this whole topic, and I wasn't planning on spending this much time on it, but I think it's important. Often I hear Christians, I mean, these are people who've been Christians for a long time, and they continue to use this saying, and I know that it's being used because they're saying it in humility. They're saying it because they recognize that their need for Jesus and that without Him that they are lost, that they're goners, right? But that is that they'll continue to say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner. And it bothers me when I hear that, because that's not what the Word of God says. That's not what the Lord says your identity is any longer if you're in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're a new creation. The old has passed away. The sinner is dead. The saint has risen. You're a new creation. You are a saint. Does that mean you're perfect? No. Does that mean that you still don't struggle and you still don't have to fight the fight and you still don't have to go and fall at the feet of Jesus and repent and ask Him for forgiveness for something? No. We're in the process of being sanctified, going from glory to glory, being made more like Him every single day. The old passing away every day, the new, more and more of the new coming. Yes, we're being sanctified, but our identity is no longer a sinner. Our identity in Christ Jesus is now a saint. And so I believe when we continue to speak that title of sinner over our lives, that what we're doing to ourselves, whether we know it or not, is we're identifying with sin rather than identifying with Christ. You were a sinner. You have been saved by the powerful, sufficient grace of Jesus Christ. You've been taken out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ Jesus. And He has given you the title of saint now. He's given you the title of child of God. A new creation. Walking in newness of life. A new identity. A new future. The old is gone. The Son has set you free, and you are free indeed. Amen? Amen? Yes. That's good news. Amen. The blessing of forgiveness. Let's embrace that truth today. If you're in Christ, if you've repented, if you've asked for forgiveness, then you're forgiven. So, let's move on. I have a question. Is there a way we can know that we are forgiven? I mean, there's a lot of people who are like, I believe it. God's Word says it. Yes, I believe it. But I want some evidence. I want to really know that I'm walking in this blessing of forgiveness. Is there a way we can really know that we are forgiven. I say, first of all, yes, look at God's Word. If you believe it is the Word of God, then you know it. You're reading the truth. There is no question. Remember Jesus' question that he asked the Pharisee? He said, now which of them will love him more? 50, 500, which will love him more? The answer is the one who's been forgiven more. That's the one who will love him more. So part two of our talk this morning is the evidence of forgiveness is love. The evidence that you have been forgiven, that you have embraced forgiveness, and that you're walking in that new reality as a saint now, walking as one who's been forgiven, the evidence of that is love. Let's go back to our passage of Scripture here, the follow-up to the parable that Jesus just told. We're in verse 44 of Luke 7. Then turning toward the woman, Jesus said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Okay, first of all, let me just give us a little bit of context here. Back in the day, Luke 7, the day of Jesus, when people would enter somebody's house, it was very customary for that person to honor them by either giving them water for them to wash their own feet or even going further and really honoring them by washing their feet, by the host washing the feet of the guests. That was how one showed honor to somebody entering their house. So Jesus is saying, hey, it's great. You invited me over for dinner. I'm sure, you know, the dinner is really good and tasty. It's probably one of the better ones I've had in the last few weeks. But when I came in your house, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't even give me any water to wash my feet. Yet this woman, this poor, yeah, sinful woman, came in and washed my feet with her tears and dried my feet with her hair. You gave me no kiss, Jesus continues. But from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. Could you imagine what Simon's face looked like at that time? It's probably red, either with anger or embarrassment, or maybe a little bit of both. Jesus has a way of making a point, doesn't he? I have a couple questions. These are a couple which came first questions. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Chicken. You're right, the chicken came first. God created animals, he didn't create eggs. He created animals to create eggs. It's perfect, right? The chicken came first. You got the first one right. Question number two. Which came first? Love or forgiveness?
Both.
What's that?
Both. Both.
I propose it's forgiveness. Let's continue to look at this parable in this passage of Scripture. Back to Luke 7:47. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. The cause of loving little is having a little understanding of forgiveness. This woman's love was the result and not the cause of her forgiveness. Something we got to understand. Our sins are not forgiven because we love God. But we love God because we are forgiven. See how this is all working out? We love God because we are forgiven. It says in 1 John 4:19, we love because He loved us first. Right? We love Him because He first loved us. He doesn't forgive us because we love Him. We love Him because He has forgiven us and shown His love to us through that forgiveness. And so if you are forgiven, then you will love. Again, the evidence of forgiveness is love. If you've been forgiven, if you understand that you're forgiven, then you will respond to that reality with love. If your understanding of forgiveness is little, you will love little. If your understanding of forgiveness is much, you will love much. So how is your love life? You know what I'm talking about. How's your love life? Loving God, loving others. Is your love growing? Is it going from little to more to much? You still stuck in that loving little? Maybe you're in a season of loving little and you're ready to get in that season of loving much. Are you growing in love? Is your love becoming more evident in your life? Is love growing? Maybe you should talk to those who are close to you and maybe they can help answer that question. Okay, so we know we're forgiven. We know that the evidence that we're forgiven is that we're loving more. But how do we know if we're loving more? How do we know if we're loving right? What does that look like? Again, I want it more practical. I want it more obvious. Am I really getting all of this stuff? Am I really getting forgiveness? Well, then I really got to be showing more love. Well, okay, that sounds good, but what does that look like? What does it really look like to love much? Go to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. Little evidence of love here. What does love look like? How do you know if you're growing in love? How do you know if you're showing more love? Apostle Paul broke it down for us. Gave us some more of the details so we could examine our lives and see if we're walking in this fruit of love. It says in verse 4 that love is patient and kind. Are you growing in patience and kindness towards God and others? If you are, you're growing in love. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So if we're seeing growth in these areas that the Apostle Paul just outlined in 1 Corinthians 13, if we see that we are growing in these areas, doesn't mean that we have to be perfect. Doesn't mean that we hit a home run, you know, out of the park every single time in any one of these areas. But are we seeing growth in these things? These are evidences that love is growing. It's in our lives and that we're growing in it. If we're seeing growth in these areas, guess what? We're growing in love. And if we're growing in love, then we're walking in the blessing of forgiveness. Do we really comprehend God's love for us? Do we? Or is it just simply a doctrine or some cute idea or some thing we want to be true? I need it, but you know, there's some other people that probably need it more than I do. That's kind of what the Pharisee Simon thought. Yeah, I need God. I need His forgiveness. I need His blessing. But there are others, just poor sinners, who are so much worse than I am. You see, if we're not seeing growth in these evidences of love, then we've got to go back to the cross so that we can again see our complete dependency on Jesus. That no, we need Him and we need to embrace that forgiveness that He so graciously gave us, just as much as anybody else that's ever walked on this earth. And again, once we've received it, let's embrace it and walk in it. It's a cause and effect kind of thing. If you're not seeing the effect grow, meaning if you're not seeing love grow in your life, then you got to go back and truly encounter the cause, the amazing grace and forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. Again, the evidence of true forgiveness is true love, and true love is measurable. That's really the last point I want to make this morning. The evidence of true love is measurable. It's not just a thought. It's not just a feeling of affection. It's not just warm fuzzies. The evidence that you truly have embraced the love of Jesus Christ and that you're walking in it and growing in it, it's measurable. This woman demonstrated her love to Jesus. She took action. She showed love to Jesus. She humbled herself. You want to know how to show love to Jesus and to others? She humbled herself. She got down on her knees, didn't she? She humbled herself. She served Him. She washed His feet and dried His feet with her hair. And she worshiped Him. She put that ointment, that expensive ointment, lavished it on His feet. You want to demonstrate your love to the Lord, humble yourself before Him. Serve Him. Worship Him. It's good to have the happy thoughts. It's good to have the warm fuzzies. By God's grace, He gives us those things. He created us to be emotional, to feel those things, to feel that feeling of love and peace and comfort and joy that we have when we're walking in the blessing of forgiveness. He's given that. Those are a gift. But true love is demonstrated. There's real evidence of it, just like this woman shows us, and just like Jesus was pointing out in her life. She humbled herself. She served Him in real, demonstrated ways, and she worshiped Him with her everything. I just want to encourage us, as we come together in corporate gatherings, I want to encourage us to show our love to Jesus in this way. In the way that this woman did, in the way that she worshiped Him. You know, she didn't come and stop with just washing His feet with her tears and drying His feet, showing Him incredible honor by doing that. She could have stopped there, but she didn't. She went all in. She took this extremely expensive ointment and anointed His feet with it, worshiping Him, giving her all, giving her best, right there in public with everyone watching, these important religious Pharisees in this really fancy house. She comes in, a sinner, falls at His feet, and worships Him with her everything, not worried about what everyone else is thinking, but focused on Jesus. I want us to learn from her. This is how we need to approach Jesus. This is how we need to walk in and worship Him humbly. Willing to serve and worship Him with our everything. Not letting self-righteousness or even self-consciousness get in the way of honoring Him. As I conclude, I want to ask the men to go ahead and get the elements for communion. Just want to point out some of the things that we learned here this morning. The first one is this, is that if we who call ourselves Christians do not love, then we need to look back. Have we really embraced forgiveness? Have we really recognized our sinfulness and embraced forgiveness? Have we really taken a good look and been extremely, completely impacted to the inner man by what Jesus has done for us and by what that means for our lives? If we do that, I'm telling you what, we'll come out of that experience and out of that reality with a different mindset, with an understanding of forgiveness and walking in much love. The ultimate blessing of forgiveness is more love. We all need to walk in more love, I'm sure. I mean, as I'm putting this message together this week, it always seems like the devil likes to attack and wreak havoc in my life, typically on the topic that I'm studying and preparing. Those of you who have taught classes or preached probably can testify that that often happens. You know, the enemy wants to rob us of even being able to present the truths in his word by saying, oh, you're not qualified. Look, you're not walking in perfect love. Look, you're not walking in perfect patience, and that's evidence of love. So who are you to stand up there? You know, you got impatient with your family this week on the way to camping trip. Who are you to talk about this stuff? We can't let the enemy rob us of the blessing of forgiveness, rob us from walking in victory that we have in Christ Jesus because we're not perfect yet, because we're still being perfected by His amazing, powerful grace that is taking us from glory to glory. So I want to encourage all of us this morning, really examine your life. Go to God if there are those areas here that you see in 1 Corinthians 13 where maybe there's not forward progress that's being made. Don't give up. Don't disqualify yourself and just say, well, I guess that's just who I am. And no, don't do that. Go back to the cross. Go back to Jesus. Go back to what He's done for us. And just be reminded of the immense love that He showed us on the cross as He was beaten, as He was torn apart, hung on a cross, and bled for you so that you can walk in the blessing of forgiveness and grow in walking in this evidence of love. Love for Him and love for others. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. We are saints now in Christ Jesus. No longer sinners. That's our old nature. We walk in the new nature because of what Jesus has done for us. Never get discouraged when you read God's Word and you start having these thoughts of falling short. Just see it as an opportunity to go to Jesus Christ and for His grace to be poured out in extra doses in your life and you to walk through that and into victory. Amen. We all on board with that? Good. Well, I've asked the worship team to come up and to lead us in a song while the elements of communion are passed out. We're going to take communion a week early this month. I just feel like we need to respond to this word and respond to this blessing of forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus through the elements and through this amazing celebration of communion.
I'm forgiven. Because You were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your Spirit lives within me because You died and rose again. I'm forgiven.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to end by doing this. I'm going to say I'm forgiven and you're going to say it. Okay? We're going to declare this truth right now, okay? And we're going to walk out of here declaring this truth and walking in this truth that we are forgiven, the blessing of forgiveness, all right? So I'm going to say it, you reply. I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I'm really forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I embrace it.
I embrace it.
I'm going to walk in it. It's so good.
So good.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
Amen. Let's go live that way. If you need prayer, I encourage you to come over to the west side of the room underneath the prayer sign. We have some people who want to pray with you. You remember the testimony of Phil Klein, and God's good. He's healing people. He's meeting your needs. Just go ask Him. He's good. He's faithful. God bless you.